Let's go on with some Zen stories. This is from the Zen master Hayakuyu. Hayakuyu had a unique way of guiding his disciples and monks. From morning till night, he kept on saying, "Work for me in the field, and I will teach you. Work for me in the field, then I teach you." He thus made his disciple work in the fields all the time, but he did not seem to be prepared to give any discourse or lectures. Finally, the monks, not able to stand it any longer, went to the master and asked, "Would you please, Master, please be gracious enough to give us a sermon, please?" The Master's unwavering reply was, "Work for me in the field, and I will teach you." More time passed, and the impatient monks again went to the master and urged him, "Please, Master, please, give us a sermon." This time he quietly, readily agreed to do so. Okay. Then all the monks gathered together in the hall. The master quietly appeared before them. Walking up to his seat, spread out both his arms, and without a word, immediately returned to his room. This Zen master may be great when I talk about them and you listen to it, but I don't think many would stay with this high, could you? All the disciples, they want some instructions, some satsang, some coming together. But he only said, "Work. Work in the field, then I will tell you." And the reason is that poor Hayakuyu, he didn't know about dynamic, kundalini, gibberish, rebirthing, counseling, all these things, no? That is my way of get you to work in the field. It's just like Gurdjieff, he was pushing his disciples all the time. But why? Because it's needed. It's a purification in the work. Because when you are exhausted, then you're much more available. When you are tense on guard, then it's very difficult to reach to you. But after you have exhausted yourself, you are tired. Ah, it's so good to relax. You have emptied out. Then it's much easier. So the master knows this. He has so much to give, but he cannot reach because it's too much you. And also to go on pushing the disciple to work, 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 year in, year out, is also a way that the Zen masters did to get rid of those who were not total. It would never work today because people don't have any totality. It's very difficult to find. But in those days, people were much more dedicated. No? They were sticking to it. Because also this was accepted in the society, just like in India. It was deep rooted in the society how worthy it is, that you cannot get that anywhere else than with the living master. And they all had different tricks. So this Hayakuju, he just say, work for me in the field and I will teach you. And another thing also, you have to have a receptive mind. You have to be available, soft, if the words of the master is going to reach you, because he doesn't talk to your head. He talks to the heart. So before you have exhausted yourself, it means, this work means to empty yourself. That was the way he did, no? Working meditation. To empty yourself, exhausting yourself, melting yourself, so you have no more resistance. He made his disciple work in the field all the time, but he did not seem to be prepared to give any lectures or sermons. Finally, the monks, not being able to stand it any longer, went to the master and asked, would you please be gracious enough to give us a sermon? Please let us come together, master. The master's unwavering reply was, work for me in the field and I will teach you. It could drive anybody mad. It is a test, how much do you take? We came here to learn Buddhist, the secrets of the Buddhas, of meditation. And all you say is to work in the field. It takes trust. Get out of your own way. Just do as the master says. And that is the whole work of the master, to make you available, to get out of your own way. Because everybody comes with so many ideas, notions, habits, how things should be and how they are. And before that is gone, you cannot start teaching Zen. You cannot start teaching meditation. You cannot start sharing the truth. You have to have a receptivity. Again, time passed, and the impatient monks went to the master again and asked. And the disciple, they can be very impatient. And that is also another reminder that if you don't have patience, it cannot work. If you have the patience, then maybe already is happening. Patience and trust. Please give us a sermon. This time he quite readily agreed to do so. No, they must have been very excited. The rumor spread. The master is coming now. Come on. I wonder what he's going to say after so long time. Everybody eager to get some Dharma talk. All the monks gathered together in the hall. The master quietly appeared before them, walked up to his chair, spread out both arms, and without a word, immediately returned to his room. Another test, and maybe a few would understand, because this gesture of just spreading the arms means that everything is available. Can't you see? No. Because the mind is in the way. And to be with the master, to get the master's real teaching, goes beyond the words. So as long as you are longing for the sermon, for words, for a teaching, you cannot really get the teaching. It's a paradox. When you get more empty, in tune, devoted, with the master, with yourself, then you learn things from every gesture, everything that he say, everything that he do, his movements, his energy, his silence, his words, it doesn't matter. But you have to find that in yourself, that trust, that dedication. Because sooner or later, everything is finished. So the master is trying to establish this connection that goes beyond time and space, beyond the worlds, beyond the physical. Otherwise, you will always be hung up on that. And that is what silence or meditation is all for, to come back to a place in yourself so you can really listen to the master from a different place. It's nothing to learn, it's nothing to become. He's trying to teach you beingness, no? Not becoming. Just being in tune with this moment. That is what satsang means. Sitting together as one heart, one beating heart. Relaxed. Drowning into this silent moment. That is the teaching. It's not in any of the scriptures, in the talks. But that is very hard. It's always been hard to take people into silence, away from their heads, away from the talking, away from the words. So if there is a true master, the essence is to bring you back to yourself, bring you back to the essence, bring you back to the center, so you can just be happy and quiet in your own being. That is the greatest miracle. Where's Bhadra? There's for her. I'm writing to tell you how It was to walk the first steps in my life as Bhadra, and I will start by telling you that I took a 2-month break from my work. What was your work?
Teenager education,
huh? Now you are back there with it? Yeah? It was good with the break, no? Pa. It has been really wonderful to have some time to take care of myself, only doing things that nourish my heart. Yes. We should all do that if we had been educated rightly, no? You have to try, no, to educate these teenagers in this, to how they can take care of themselves a bit, no? Listen to their heart. Because nobody in society does that. You were lucky, you came by me, and you listened to me, and then you took a break, and then it's very nourishing. Huh? Of course, but we need people to remind us. So now you have to, now you have seen your own experience, how good, how real this is, then you have to try to incorporate that just a little bit when you can into the teaching, into the education. I discovered again the pleasure of doing homemade stuff and enjoying the little things made with a calm, relaxed state in silence and listening to your satsangs. Then in September, I married a man that I followed the heart for the first time. That is great, no, to follow the heart, no? If you are not in tune with the heart, how can we follow the heart, huh? So the first thing is that we have to get in tune with our own heart, no? If you follow the head like everybody does, then how can you follow the heart? That's why we end up in very strange situations sometimes, huh? Strange marriages and all these kind of things, strange work. So people, everybody should be educated to follow the heart, no? To follow the true being. Then you would enjoy what you're doing. You would enjoy who we are together with. Even if the mind and society said that he was the wrong one. Who knows? Let's see what time will tell. And this with the relationship, it seems like it's a hit and miss, no, who knows? It's a gamble, like if you play, if you go to Las Vegas, you gamble also, it's like the same thing, who knows? You might think when you come to Las Vegas, yeah, my odds are very good. Bah! Then you leave the casino. Totally broken. With him, I felt for the first time the voice in my heart, and I dived into the unknown. Yes, you have to take risk, no? That is, it's very exciting, no? You cannot just think about it, you have to jump in. No, the marriage has been like closing a circle for the first time. With him, I listened to my heart. After years of being together, that is also good that you don't get, some people, they get married after 1 month, no, 1 week. Huh? Like Britney Spears and these people, no, they're very good. After one party and then they go married in Las Vegas, no, very good. And it lasts also 36 hours, no. And not only that, I got married as the new me, Bhadra, which means exactly this. Getting married as a sannyasin was a precious gift, and that I shared with my beloved. And this is also a gift. Yes, you should. That is, you cannot hide the most beautiful things, no? Then it's not right to be in a marriage or any relationship if you cannot share that which is most beautiful in your life, no? During these past months, you have been with me all the time. Even in Japan, where I entered into silence in each temple, and I felt you so close, so connected to my heart. You went to Japan with your husband. Very good. When?
October.
Nice time, no? Did you have some colors in the mountain then?
Yeah.
Nice colors.
Always nice.
Always nice, no? How long you stayed?
3 weeks.
And mostly in Ohara, where in each step I felt your loving presence and I felt immersed in your light. Did you know that I have been there? You knew? That's why you felt? Huh? That's why you felt, no? How did you know you were in the video? This place is very close to me, no? No, you have been there yourself. Very nice, no? That valley, huh? It's almost like here, no? But here we don't have those nice temples, nothing. And no tradition like this, no? Thousands of years. It's been meditators, masters. So nice. It's in the atmosphere, no? So it's very easy if you are a meditator to connect to it. But the thing is that, no, these temples, as you saw, no, they are drying out. They open for the tourists to get money enough to keep them nice, to keep them going. I was amazed. They invited me, my friends there in Japan, these places, and I was thinking, my God, so beautiful, we could take over one of these temples. I asked them in the satsang, when we had satsang with the Japanese there, and I said, nobody of you has family that has some of these temples, or maybe your father is a Zen priest or something, because we should make it alive. No, it was very sad to see these beautiful places, because the young people, they are not interested. They are losing totally that side. So it becomes like a tourist attraction, no? But if you feel, if you have that sensitivity and you yourself are a meditator, then you can feel this that has been going on for hundreds of years, no? Just like in India also, no? Or like in the temple on Mount Mitsan, where the monks have been keeping the fire of love always burning for more than 100 years. Eternal flame that brings light to our hearts. I meditated for a long time in front of that sacred fire, and I felt the infinite gratitude for the path I'm walking with you on, and I felt so blessed for it. Yes, because that's how you became in tune with that, no? I brought you a gift from that temple to thank you, because you are the flame that illuminates and warms and frees my heart. It has been a wonderful trip for many reasons, but also because I could experience it as a sannyasin. While I was in Japan, I could see and breathe the art of Zen. But only now, with you, I felt for the first time this silent voice in my heart, and I dived into the unknown. the greatest thing for the seeker, beyond any comparison, is to be with the master, to be with an alive master. So that is much better than to visit 1,000 temples. And that's what you see here, when you come here, then you are in the energy of it, in the silence. So the master, he brings this, be that India or Japan or China or whatever, that flavor of meditation with him, no? That's what Kabir says, and all the gurus from ancient days, when they wake up, then Kabir says, I've been there, taking baths in the Ganga, going to Varanasi, going to Mount Kailasha. You won't find him there. It's just a joke. Stop. Sit. Like this. I've been to the holy places. I've been to Mecca. I've been to there. Didn't work. It's the master who brings you back. Even now, I told you just recently, you know, they're still going on taking bath. It was over 1 million people taking bath at Kumbh Mela. Millions, 100 million, I think. Mean numbers are not, I don't even know what year we are. Hundred million people, can you imagine? In Norway, it's like 5 million people. Can you imagine if it had been here, 100 million people come to take bath? My God. And they think they're going to be liberated. Huh? And then Kabir said, it doesn't work, my friend. I've done that also. The master says, also done that. I tried. Everything. It didn't work. Come and sit. No, the marriage has been like closing a circle. For the first time with him, I listened to my heart, and after years... Oh, this I read already. While I was in Japan, I could see and breathe the art of Zen. But only now that I'm here, in silence, I can feel the power of being here and now. That is the great help of being together also with fellow seekers, with fellow travelers as a Sangha, because when you are together, then the energy gets much stronger. When one is alone, then it's not so easy. In Japan, they had so many temples, as you saw. You know, in Kyoto still, they have 1,600 temples. Can you imagine in the days when it was really alive and all the monks and nuns was walking around and everybody meditating, the atmosphere in that place? More than 1,000 temples. My God. It's never been in Europe. It's totally dry. America, totally dry. No energy from the past at all. Just some nice Indians, hunka kunka, but nothing compared to the East. There they really have a tradition. And this Kyoto especially was the capital of Japan. And just by chance, it got saved in the Second World War when the great savior of America wanted to experiment with the first atomic bombs. Then they wanted to bomb Kyoto also. And then by chance, in that White House, in the circle of these politicians and the president, it was one man close to the president who had been the ambassador to Japan. And he loved the Japanese tradition. And he said, "Dear Mr. President, this, please, this Kyoto, don't bomb that one, because it's so unique." So just by chance, because he knew, and the way he put it out to them, that don't do that, at least find another where you can try your atomic bomb. Just so close it was. Then they took Hiroshima and Nagasaki instead. And that's why it's very, very unique, because it was really the old capital. So it was the center. So it's a unique place in the world, as you saw, and also the surrounding mountains. There was thousands and thousands of meditators there. Just by chance. Let's bomb there. Okay, let's bomb there instead, like that. It's such a beautiful sensation to feel my body in every part, in every movement, while the air comes in and out, being aware. I realize that in my daily life I feel this strong sensation only when I meditate and when I do Tai Chi. But during the days here, I'm exploring this more and more and tasting the pleasure of being present for longer times. I can observe many things and the tricks of my mind, my need to be seen and to watch the others, the need to share all the sensations and the need to take care of others. I can observe. That's what silence do, but nobody is doing it. You have to put yourself in a situation like this so you get the taste of it. And that's why I always say you have to get the taste, and then you have to take care of it when you go home. You have to nurture it, to try to bring that sensation, that awareness into your life. Because it's very easy when you go back to your old, you forget it. It's much easier to be unconscious than to be conscious. You have to train yourself. And from today, I hear a silent voice that tells me to accept to disappear. This voice really intrigues me, and at the same time, it makes me want to be more playful. Thank you, with all my love, Bhadra. Only with the playfulness will it be easy, no? So you have to bring playfulness also in, into yourself, into your teaching the teenager, to the education, to your relationship, everything, no? Other kind of life can be very serious, no? You see. And you must be an old meditator, because you are also from Italy, no? Yes? So then the Italian that becomes so silent, that is a miracle. But I manage with Brazilians, so what to say about Italians? Even Mexicans, I have like silent Buddhas. How is it possible? Mamma mia! And if you really click with being in silence, you could experience consciously with that even in your daily life, no? To take some hours, if it's possible, to take a walk alone, to nurture that place where you don't need to always talk or gossip or watch the TV or do something at home. Just have time for yourself. I hear a voice that tells me, accept, to disappear. That's the whole art of meditation. That's what the master is trying to teach you, the art of disappearing, of melting. Because when you are not there, then God is not. Kabir says, on this path, only one can walk. There's only one. And the art of Zen is to just be total whatever you do. It doesn't matter what it is, it's just to be total. They say when you do something, you should do it with your whole body and mind. You should be concentrated on what you do. So you do it completely, like a good bonfire. You should not be a smoky fire. You should burn yourself completely. If you do not burn yourself completely, a trace of yourself will be left in what you do. That is what I mean when I say get out of your own way. Be total in what you're doing. And if you find what you like to do, then it's easy. So first thing is to find out, come back to yourself, you listen to your own being, your own heart. Is this what I like to do? So many people, they do all kinds of things they don't like to do. How can they be flowing then? How can they stop complaining? If you do what you like to do, then go totally into it. No, then bring awareness into it. That's another thing with Japan. They still have this. They really enjoy what they're doing. It's totally lost in the West. Or maybe he's never been there. But Japan is unique in many ways, and this is one of the things that I observe there, that people, they really enjoy, not everybody of course, but a lot, what they do. It could be making sushi, it could be taking care of the temple, it could be a taxi driver. I met the taxi driver, many taxi drivers. They were so proud to be a taxi driver. Beautiful uniform, white gloves, clean car. And they open the door for you like you are, I felt like the, you know, what is like the king of Norway coming, you know? Just in a taxi, just totally enjoying what they are doing. I enjoyed Japan very much because I also felt I had an old connection with Japan. I remember from old days. And then now I got invited and they took care of me just like I was coming home again. The lost son coming home. They were very happy, took very good care. I enjoyed very much that. There was one in Kyoto, there was many Zen masters, of course, with all these temples. Some was good and some was other not so good, like it always has been. Some was fake and some was real, and somebody was really far out and somebody was very less far out. But there was one guy called Ikkyu. very famous, and they say that his father was the emperor, but he was left to the mama like normally it is. And they got separated. She put him into a Rinzai school when he was only 5 years old. And he grew up with many different masters and school all the time doing satsang. And then he was at the lake there in Kyoto, Biwa Lake, meditating in a rowboat alone. Must be very nice, you know, because, and in those days, you can imagine 1,000 years ago, totally quiet. And he heard a crow sitting on that silent lake. No sound. And they say he got enlightened. But then, of course, he was 30. He started when he was 5 years old. But this is how it can happen, you know, like something just, you are so ripe, and then just the last touch. In India, they had a great mystic called Ramakrishna. And his stories was the same. He was a very evolved soul from before, like Ramana. And then he was walking home from school, and it was the monsoon in Bengal, in the around Calcutta there, heavy rain, and the dark clouds were coming, and the rain was coming, and it was started running by a lake, and then these white cranes came flying. And that sight of those white cranes with that black background, and he popped. He came back a different boy. But he could hardly talk about it. He was such an innocent man, so he didn't have a big following at all. But this is how it can happen, no? When you are empty. So this Ikkyu, he was a rascal, that's why I mention him. He says, we are lost where the mind can't find us, utterly lost. This is what I can really relate to, this Ikkyu. That is the safe place where the mind can't find you. Where is that? Have you been there where the mind can't find you? No, maybe you never thought about that. But I'm telling you, there is a place where the mind can't find you. We are totally safe there. Me and Ikkyu and the rest of the gang, at least. Come. Yet again, come. We lost where the mind can't find us, utterly lost. Then he says, fucking flattery, fucking success, fucking money. I just sit back and suck my thumb. That is my kind of guy there. Fuck it all. He tried it because he came, his father was the emperor of that area. He tried it just like Buddha. He had all the fame, he had all the wealth, he had seen it. Fuck it all. Flattery, success, money. I just sit back and suck my thumb. And that is what the Zen master could do sometimes. Just sit there by the side of the road, suck the thumb. Everybody thinks this is a wacko. And then they left him alone. And that's exactly what you want. Just leave me alone, please. But then there's always some people that is interested, and then they find out, and then it starts. Then the show starts. I know for myself. Then I went to this Ikkyu temple also. That you missed out, brother. You have to go back. It's just outside Kyoto on the way to Nara, another beautiful place. And that temple was one of the few temples that was totally empty. We were the only one there. We had a nice meal there. And I felt totally at home there, of course. It was very nice energy. And then one of my Japanese friends, he was taking a movie of me. He was Abe-san, the famous Abe-san. And then when we were walking out, then I was talking to them, and then I just walked backward. So I was walking backward, talking, having a little sermon, just like Ikkyo there. And then he was stumbling. I did not. I was walking backward, and he was stumbling. I couldn't believe it. This is how... Even when you go forward, you get stumbled. Right? Wake up. Ikkyo says, having no destination, I'm never lost. Pah. This is poetry at the highest. Where does this come from, huh? Having no destination, I'm never lost. Pah. I can see clouds in 1,000 miles. I can see clouds 1,000 miles away, and I hear ancient music in the pines. What is it that can see clouds 1,000 miles away, and I can hear ancient music in the pines? No, I see all direction. There is no future, there is no past. Everything is clear. I can see clouds 1,000 miles away. I can hear ancient music in the pines. EQ. Since we are talking of Japan, there was a great, he's still here, but one musician called Kitaro. Many people must have heard about Kitaro. He was very famous before, he's still on it. But what many people don't know that he was a sannyasin also. And I met him there in Pune in the old days. And he was never educated in any music, but he's a very sensitive man. So he created a lot of sounds, and he always loved nature. So he's tried to bring nature sounds into the music through whatever. Very far out guy. I will play you something, one song from him. Thank you. guitar, no? He was way ahead of his time, and of course, when he became a disciple, then his music became much more beautiful, no? It's like that. Maybe you think you're doing beautiful music, or paintings, or whatever, or have a beautiful life, but then when you become a disciple of a master, then everything becomes more beautiful. Devasetu was his sannyas name. He's still going strong, I think. Devasetu. My beloved, first, I feel immensely grateful for the life you have given me, although I must also share that many, many years something still keeps coming up during the retreats. When you talk about being worthy, being friends with the beloved, my feeling is that I'm not. Guilt comes, and this feeling is a failure inside. Still, this belief that I'm not quite right yet, not good enough. I see the wound is something very deep in me, and I really want to heal it. It is painful to still feel this separation. Could you please share some light on this, into this, beloved? Yes, Yogita. Well, you are what you are, no? So the thing is to accept what you feel. So it means if some guilt is there and feeling failure and feeling that you are not quite right yet, not good enough, then that's how you feel, no? That means that you have to go deeper. It means more to go deeper in your meditation. Some thought, some idea, something must be there, no? And this worthiness, doesn't that always come if it is some comparison? And the first thing is not to compare. You are unique, you are you. So if you compare, that is part of the mind, it's part of the ego. Then there is always somebody higher, somebody lower. Somebody ahead of you, somebody behind you. If you drop that, then what? Then who are you then? If you don't compare, if you just rest in yourself. That is the... What the sannyasins you do, focus on yourself. And if things come up, then look, where does this come from then? How does that come? What do you do to yourself that this comes? Worthiness comes when you deserve it, no? And if you are totally worthy, then you don't even know that you are worthy. And remember, when you talk about being worthy, being friends with the beloved, my feelings is that I am not. They have this saying, many times I tell you, God, Guru, Self is the same. In India they say, Ramana said it many times. No? So, yourself, which you don't know, that is the exploration as a sannyasin. Coming to your own true self, then you know that you are that, which is the same. Everything is the same, is all one. There is no separation. So that's why Ramana says God, Guru, Self is the same. The Self, the ego, is hindering you to see your true self. So then, existence in some mysterious ways, in existence appear some gurus, some masters, some enlightened ones that can remind you, hey, you are not what you think you are. Go deeper. Go beyond your own ideas. Find out who you really are. So, in that way, the guru is the midwife between the ego and God. Is too much distance. It will never reach. You have to first do the homework. You have to purify yourself of your impurities, which is the whole art of sadhana, of meditation, of working on oneself, to get in tune with the guru's message. Then you realize God, that we're all the same. So if anything comes up, it means that there's still more work to do. Easy. Then pull your shit together and focus. Don't be lazy. That's the thing. Again, nobody is really dedicated. So then it can take a long time. You have to be total. Like I just talked about Zen people, the master. Be total, no? You focus, but very few people are total. They look here, there, there. Ah, yeah, start a little bit there. Then ideas. Even with different masters, you are not even in tune with one and you start listening and thinking about others. I tell you, one is more than enough. If you can be total, dedicated, then you listen, you fall in tune. The message, if it is a true master, then it's all the same. To go beyond you, into the universal. But you're playing it safe. You're still occupying with your own process, or looking outside, or with guilt, or with worries, or being worthy, or not good enough, or beliefs, or fears, so many things. So first, see what is your issue, and find out where does this come from. I can tell you that the mind is just the ghost. You are not the mind. But it doesn't help you, and I see again and again, because you are so identified with that worthiness or being guilty or not good enough. That means you have to investigate yourself. Self-knowledge is the only thing that can liberate you. So the master is there to give you that courage, that strength, to remind you to do your work, to realize the truth. When you have purified yourself, automatically you become a friend of the beloved. But for you, where you ask from is still in doing. You cannot do it. It is happening. It is in the surrender, it is in let go. Hmm? So that's why we have to go on polishing, no? Till one day you have done everything that is in your hands to do. Then just wait. Patience. Then it's not in your hands. You have done everything. It's not about, in the beginning it is about doing, it is about hard work, it was investigating yourself, it is about going beyond your own boundaries, it is become purifying yourself. It's the sadhana, no? Then it is a time where it's just about insight, about remembrance, that you are not that mind. If you are not this mind that comes with any guilt, any comparison, any not good enough, any emotions, all your feelings that is making your mirror very, very murky. If you are not identified with that, then everything is clear. As long as you identify with that, you have to doing techniques and work that has to deal with that. When the point comes, when that is clear, then your energy doesn't need to be involved in that. It is free on higher levels. Then you can rise. You are free of that which pulls you down, which is self-doubt, thoughts, emotions, comparing, all these things, fears. So if anything is there, it just means that there's still more there to look at, no? All ideas has to go. First, you know, normal people, they are stuck in all the worldly ideas, who they are, comparing, what the family would say, what the sisters will say, what the religions will say, what the papa will say, what the children will say, what the neighbors would say. It's different levels in comparing. Oh, I have to get a new car because the neighbor got that new car. People live totally like robots. So as you free yourself from more and more of the normal things, which very few people have, then you start on the spiritual part. You have to free yourself from all the spiritual ideas that you're carrying. And coming to a master, his work is to take everything, which is very, very easy if you are ready for it. That's where surrender, trust, acceptance, melting. Otherwise, it's a hard struggle because you are clinging to something. Why cling to your guilt? It's just a thought. Why cling to fear? Where is it if you don't create it? If you don't nourish it? No, because you never had been that conscious to see how yourself works. How your thought process work, how your feelings work. You have to investigate yourself. That's the whole work. I deeply feel the need to have this love reborn in my heart with nothing in between. Then, what is in between? What is between you and the love? Tell me, Yogita. Huh? Tell me. Then, what's the problem then? You are, see, you are creating your own problem. Maybe you got a little cold. You've been here in Norway for some time? Huh? How long you been here?
4 weeks,
that's enough to get cold. Many times people, they need to be reminded. That is another thing. I have to remind people, everything is okay, Yogita. Relax. Don't be so hard on yourself. So this is another thing. If people have me too close, then they can even forget about the master. Take it for granted. If you are not so close, far away physically, then you can miss that. And then you get cold. But it has to be a balance. You have to be warm all the time. And you cannot depend on that. You have to look at yourself all the time. I deeply feel the need to have this love reborn in my heart with nothing in between. Then you have to look, what is it that I put in between? What is between you and the Divine? What is between you and the Master? That you don't know. The Master is always open. Everything is yourself creation. And only insight, consciousness, awareness can see what you have done. When you see something, when you understand something, only then can it go. No, my focus is not there. No, my focus is to be open, or on the trust, or the intimacy, not my own thought process. Your beloved and the beloved outside is one. You have to take care of yourself. That's the way to take care of the beloved. That's the way to come close to you, the beloved. The master is there on the outside so he can point you back to your own master. So, if it's something in between, what can be in between you and yourself? Who is that bugger? Yeah, I know that bugger is there all the time, but I'm trying again and again, cut the head. It's like a monster. I cut the head, again, something comes up. Cut the head again, it comes up. My God! I put dynamite up the butt, palm. Still, all those little parts that exploded, just like in a monster movie, they all come together. Whoosh, and then it's a different version. Oh, my God. Stop it now. Relax. Everything is fine. I go on saying, but you cannot believe it. It's too much to believe because I'm so used to having so many problems. God. That's how we are. Suffer a bit more. Then, that's how it's always been, like the spiritual people, no, they have to suffer, do effort, fast. Eat only 2 carrots a day and 3 grains of rice. Even Buddha tried that. Maybe it's part of the process, I don't know. Something bad, suffer. Sleep on nails like yogis do in India. I have seen them. And they become great mahatmas, great gurus for the village. The unconscious village, the normal people, they think they are great. Just some fool sleeping on nails. Who would sleep on a bed of nails if you're not a fucking idiot? But in India, you became a great guru. Oh, he was great. Why? Because suffer. Why suffer? In all ways, you should suffer, go through, prepare, spiritual, fast. Eat vegan ice cream or something terrible. Just suffering. My God! Non-ending. Can't you just be ordinary? My God. So it's all about an insight, your Gita. Just see things as they are, get out of it, step out of it. It's not about attaining, it's about realization. Seeing the game and stepping out of the game. Otherwise, the game goes on forever. Oh no, I'm a little high, I forgive a little bit more. Oh no, I'm done. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck it. Just like Ikkyu say, my man, Ikkyu. Pa! My God. Attaining something is for egos. Awakening, that is for the heart. No? Talk to the heart. Wake up. Come on. It's morning. Let's have fun. Let's have a dance. Let's enjoy. Let's eat ice cream, but for God's sake, not vegan. People come, it's like, oh, this must be great. Here's some vegan chocolate for the master. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's to give it to the dog. This all yogi syndrome comes in always. In every generation, it comes up. Purity has to do with your insight, not to be identified with your thoughts. Relax. My God. Just like Baba said, let's have be playful. Okay? Are you with me? Who else is with me? Okay. Good. The whole art is be natural. And the only way to be really natural, that is the trick of the master also. Master says, love yourself. Be yourself. Be natural. But how can you be that if you don't know yourself? So you have to go through this purification, this homework, this understanding of yourself. Then the worthiness comes by itself, because you are worthy. You have dropped that which is unnecessary. You have dropped the bullshit. Then you become worthy. If you are still tangling up with the bullshit, you will smell what to do. Then look into it, understand, what am I doing? Get to know it, investigate yourself. Go deeper, beyond this attachment of your ideas, who you think you are. You are more. So it's very difficult to accept yourself, to love yourself, to be free. Before you are free, before you are love, before you are natural. In Zen, they say, emotionally, we have many problems. But these problems are not actual problems. They are something created. They are problems pointed out by our self-centered ideas and views. So, don't be so self-centered. Focus on that which is beyond. Your little self, and be happy. Forgetting that, everything becomes problem. remembering that, everything becomes a dance. Om Shanti.
I long for you. I long for you to belong. Life, living life. A living song. From you I come, to you I go, sometimes fast, sometimes slow. Addis tisse addis Adanilanat Anahat Juka Juka Kove Ades Tise Ades Adanilanat Anahat Juka Juka Kove. Chukka chukka ekove.